Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
You know, the verse that we read flies in face of what nutritionists tell us today. It says, eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's my verse. That's why I like sweet tea. And I eat my share of fat, too. But I don't want you to concentrate on the first part of the verse. I want you to concentrate on the last part of the verse, where it says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In the book of Nehemiah, of course, is a story about rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And when you get to chapter 8, the wall's already done. The work is done. Now the hard part comes. Living as God's people in that land and rebuilding the nation. See, it was easy to rebuild the wall because, you know, it was made of bricks and mortar, and everybody had a section, and everybody had an assignment, and everybody pitched in. And the Bible says in 52 days, less than 2 months, the wall was rebuilt. Now the hard part was coming, living for God and doing what God wanted them to do. And Nehemiah reminded them, said, now listen, you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. You need to have the joy of the Lord in your life, because that joy gives you the strength that you're going to need to live the way that I want you to live. Now, the same thing is true today. We need the strength of God to be what he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do, to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. We cannot do that in our own strength. We need his strength, and that strength comes when we know the joy that comes from him. Solomon, who tried to figure out what brought happiness and what brought that joy. And you go back and you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about gathering wealth and gathering lands and all sorts of possessions. And he got to the end after trying to look at everything the world had to offer, and he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. And what he said in another part of that book was, you need the joy that comes from God for the strength to live this life. And we need joy. Sometimes our world gets turned upside down and we lose that joy. I read a story about a little parrot named Chippy. Chippy was a happy little bird. He just sat in his cage and he sang all the time and he just chatted. And the lady that owned him began to think it was a chore to change the paper in the bottom of his cage. And so what she did was got a piece of aluminum foil, taped it to the bottom of the cage, and rather than change it when it needed to be changed, she just got the vacuum cleaner and vacuumed it out. It was a lot simpler than changing the paper. Well, one day she was vacuuming the bottom of the cage and the phone rang. And she left the vacuum there, didn't turn it off, went and talked on the phone for a few minutes. And when she came back, Chippy was gone. So she turned off the vacuum cleaner, opened up the bag, and sure enough, there he was, covered with dirt and fuzz and all sorts of other stuff. And she thought to herself, I got to get this bird clean. So she ran over to the faucet, turned on the cold water, and washed him off. And then because she didn't want him to catch a cold, she went and got the hair dryer and dried him. Set him back in the cage, and the bird just sat there like this. Never sang again. Lost his joy. And you know, sometimes we feel like Chippy. The world just puts us through the ringer. We don't know what's happening in our world. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our joy. You know, we sing that song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And we need to keep it down in our heart. Because sometimes this, when we get up and face this world, the world doesn't look good. I read another story about a grandpa that was taking a nap on the couch. and his little grandson, about the age of yours, Darwin, came in. I thought about you when I read the story. Smeared Lindbergh cheese in his mustache. He got up and took a whiff and said, "This living room stinks." He went into the kitchen. "This kitchen stinks." He went out on the back porch. "The backyard stinks." He walked to the front porch, took another whiff and said, "The whole world stinks." And sometimes if we're not careful, that's what we'll think. The whole world stinks and we'll lose our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This morning I'm going to preach a sermon that's more of a Sunday night sermon than it is a Sunday morning sermon. But I want you to walk away with your tanks of joy filled up. I sort of think joy and living life with the joy of the Lord that gives us our strength is like driving a car. You know, sometimes when you get in your car and you're low on gas, and I mean really low. I mean, the indicator is over there on E. And you say to yourself, "I think I can make it. I think I can make it." So you start to drive, and most of the cars now have this little buzzer, you know, or dinger. It dings when there's something on the instrument panel, and you get that little pump that says you're almost out of gas, and it begins to ding, 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 and you say to yourself, "I can still make it." And then as you get a little bit lower on gas, the dings pick up. Ding, 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 ding. And you still say, "I think I can make it." And then it begins to reel. Ding, 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 ding. You know, pretty soon I think they're going to come out with a voice-activated deal that says, "Hey, dummy, if you don't stop pretty soon, we're going to stop." But joy is like that. We need to keep... Now, by the way, when you're driving like that, you don't have much joy. You know why? You're afraid you're going to run out of gas. You're just nervous. You're all upset about it. And if you're smart, what you'll do is pull into a gas station and fill up the gas tank so you don't got to worry about running out of gas. This morning, I want you to fill up to the pumps of joy, fill your tanks up with joy, and I want you to walk out of this place with the joy of the Lord so that you'll have the strength to live the life and do the things that God wants us to do. Now, there's 9 joy pumps that I want to mention this morning. And so you're getting your money's worth triple this morning. I usually have 3 points. I got 9 this morning. I only got 15 minutes left. So you're going to have to listen in a hurry. And I'll preach in a hurry. The first pump that I want you to pull up to that gives you joy is the pump of knowing that you are saved and on your way to heaven. You will not have joy in your life if you are fighting with God, if you are separated from God, if you do not know that you are a child of God on your way to heaven. The Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have fallen and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God forever and ever. But God loved us so much that he did not leave us in that condition. I mean, the only thing that we could do as a sinner to pay for our sin was to pay the price that sin demands, and that's death, to be separated from God. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Teresa sang about him a moment ago. Born of a virgin, grew up among us, lived a perfect life, and allowed us to take him, nail him to a cross, and as we did, God laid on him every one of our sins. And he paid the price. And he died for my sin, and he died for your sin. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This morning, you will not have joy in your life unless you know that you are saved. Listen to me, you were created to fellowship with God. There's a part of your life that will only be satisfied as you have that relationship with God. And until you take care of sin, until you get the sin paid for, you will not have joy. And you need to come to Jesus this morning. You need to call out to him. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Jesus said, "I go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come and get you so that where I am, there ye may be also." And this morning, you can have joy, and you can fill up your tank from this first pump. I mean, we can forget about the other eight. We're not, by the way. But we can forget about the other eight. But you will not have joy until you come to this first pump and fill your life up with the salvation of God that only comes from Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're saved, then you rejoice in the fact that you have a home in heaven, your future is secure, your sins are forgiven, and one day you're going to go to be with your Savior forever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't care what's going on in the world, I don't care what's going on in your life, if you have that knowledge, if you have that joy, that one day heaven is going to be yours, you can face what the world has to offer, and you have the strength to do what God wants us to do. So, the pump of salvation and knowing it. Number two is the pump of prayer and Bible study. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And that's in Psalm 16. In Psalm 19, the Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Spending time with God in prayer and spending time with God in this book will bring you joy. The Bible promises it. The Bible says that in his presence is joy. I come into his presence when I open this book and read his word. I come into his presence when I bow or I sit or stand, whatever position you take when you pray. But I come into his presence when I go to him in prayer, when I acknowledge him as God, when I acknowledge him as the author of every good and perfect gift, when I acknowledge him as my help. I have joy when I come into the presence of God and read about how much he loves me in this book. And I have joy when I come into the presence of the Lord and I make my petitions known unto him and he answers my prayer. I have the joy of the Lord. And from that joy, I have strength to go out and face whatever this world has to offer. And in that strength, I can go out and do what God wants me to do. We have joy in the Bible. We have joy in prayer. We have joy in the presence of the Lord. So pull up to that pump. Fill it up. You know you have a credit card with unlimited balance for these pumps I'm talking about today. It won't take your Visa. It won't take your MasterCard. Just leave them in your wallet. The joy that comes from God is free. And he wants everybody to have it. Jesus says, I've not only come to give you life, I've come to give you abundant life. You think Jesus was a sourpuss? I don't. I think he was so full of joy. One of the reasons that people wanted to be around him, he was just so full of joy. It's contagious. They said, we just want to be around him because he's so happy. He's so full of joy. Oh, he preached hard. He called sin, sin. But he had the joy of the Lord, and that was his strength. So pull up to the pump of salvation. Pull up to the pump of prayer and Bible reading. Pull up to the pump of preaching. You know, preaching brings you joy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that Philip preached in Samaria, and the Bible says there was great joy in that city. Great joy. That comes from hearing the word of God expounded. That comes from hearing the word of God explained. That comes from hearing the word of God preached. We're in the book of Zechariah on Wednesday night, talking about the rebuilding of the temple. And the people had been back for 18 years, and they still hadn't got the job done. And then Haggai and Zechariah came on the scene, and they began to preach. They began to preach God's word, and the people got their joy back. They were reminded that God hadn't forgotten them. They were reminded that God was going to come and dwell in that city again. And when they got their joy back, they got their strength back, and they finished the job. They finished the job. So, the pump of preaching. Then, number four, the pump of faithfulness. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. There is joy with sticking with a job and getting it done. There is joy in faithfulness. I've known people that have come, just give you an example. I've known people that have come to church just feeling rotten. I mean, just they just feel rotten. And it's hard for them to put one foot in front of the other. And yet they come. And when they leave, they say something like this: I'm so glad I made myself come today. I feel a whole lot better now than when I first come in. That's the reward of faithfulness. The joy that comes from God when you are faithful to do what He's called us to do, even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other, even though you don't know how you're going to make it, you're faithful to do what God wants you to do. Your joy does not depend on the results that happen in your life. Your joy depends on God who gives it to us. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Burma. He was there for 6 years. And he translated the Bible into Burmese, and he passed out thousands of tracts a month. And for the first 6 years, he did not have one convert. Not one person was saved. Not one. For 6 years. 1,000 tracts every month. Translating the Bible into the native language. And not one person saved. It would have been easy for him to say any time during those 6 years, I must have misread God. I must have misunderstood what God wanted me to do. I'm must not supposed to be here. I think I'll just go home. But he didn't. He stayed. He had a ministry of over 50 years. And there was over a quarter of a million people saved because Judson went to Burma. Now, you know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one person that gets saved. Don't you think that Mr. Judson had a lot of joy over seeing 250,000 people plus come into the kingdom of God because he was faithful? He was faithful. So the pump of faithfulness. Number five is the pump of living one day at a time. In Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So many people worry about tomorrow. So many people say, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to make it the next day? How am I going to make it next week? You know, God says, look, why are you worried? You can't change one thing by being worried. You can't add one cubit to your height. Worrying does not do one bit of good. That's what the Bible says. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's what Jesus said. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of tomorrow. Jesus knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen on Tuesday. He knows what's going to happen on Wednesday. None of us do. We have today. And what he said, look, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that we have. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Live today. Enjoy the things that God's given you today. Stay faithful today. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't change that. Don't worry about what's going to happen on Wednesday. You can't change that. Trust God. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to be with you as you go into surgery. He's going to be there as you face that trial that you know you have to face. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to spend today, the only day that God's given me, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow and worrying about what's going to happen the next day. I'm going to live today for its fullest and enjoy the things that God has given me today. And so should you. So should you. So number five, living one day at a time. Number six, looking forward to his second coming. One day he's coming back. Maybe today. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be great after I got done preaching if the But wouldn't it be great after we got done this morning if before we left the trumpet would blow and we'd hear that voice, come up hither, and we would leave this place and fly together as a group up to be with the Lord. Now, those that are in the grave get a head start. They got 6 feet further to go than we do, so they get a head start. But the dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to get in our cars, wouldn't have to go home, but that we would rise together to see the Lord in the air? One day that's going to happen. I believe it with all my heart. It's a reality. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's an actual thing that's going to happen one of these days. Maybe I'll die before that day comes. That's all right. Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. I'll be up there waiting for you. But one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. He's coming. And we ought to live in that hope and in that knowledge that one day he's coming back to get us. You know, talking about the rapture, I read a story about a Christian college. In one of the dormitories, there was a boy that was just worried about the rapture. And so his fellow students decided they were going to stage the rapture. And they left clothes in the hallways, and they left, you know, razors running in the bathroom. And then they all hid, and they had somebody blow a trumpet. And this one kid comes running out of his room, and he sees clothes laying in the hall. He goes into the bathroom, sees these razors going, and he can't find anybody. And he got down on his knees in the hallway, and he said, "God, I thought I did it right. You forgot me." And then all his buddies come running out of the room and said, "Oh, we got you." But I tell you what, you don't want to be left when the trumpet blows. You don't want to be left. One day it will. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to get ready. Because he's coming. He is coming. Number seven, I got to hurry. Three more. Number seven. The pump of giving. Giving. And Brother Leonard talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The Bible says, "The Lord loveth a cheerful giver." Cheerful giver. And that word cheerful, I don't know if you covered it. I didn't hear that part of the Sunday school lesson. But that word cheerful is the same word that our word hilarious comes from. And so when we give, we ought to be so happy that people will mistake us for being hilarious as we give. Now, I don't know about you, as I've watched the offering, I've not very often seen somebody that looks like they were hilarious when they were giving. And I don't want somebody standing up next week as they give their offering looking hilarious. I'll just tell you that right now. But giving brings joy. It's more blessed to give than it is receive. That word blessed means that joy that comes from the Lord. So pull up to the pump of giving. Number eight, pull up to the pump of soul winning. Pull up to the pump of telling somebody about Christ. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There is nothing in life that compares to being able to take this Bible and tell somebody about Jesus and see them ask Jesus to be their Savior. Having kids come pretty close. But even the joy that comes there can't compare to the joy that you have when you're able to lead somebody into the kingdom of God. There's joy in that. Joy. I can remember, I know who I was with. A guy that used to come to our church, he no longer comes. We went to make a call. We went to the front door and rang the doorbell. And nobody came to the door. We had an idea they were in the house, so we walked around. Their garage door was open. And we walked around into the garage, and there was another button that looked like another doorbell button beside the back door. So I pushed that button, and the garage door started going down. I pushed it again so they'd go back up. And the guy came out to the back door. He said, "What are you guys doing messing around in my garage?" I said, "Well, we're trying to get your attention. We want to talk to you." He said, "Well, you got my attention. What do you want to talk about?" I said, "I want to talk to you about the door." "What door? My garage door?" I said, "No, the door to heaven. Have you gone through it yet?" He said, "Come on in." And we got to take the Bible, show him from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be a Savior. There's joy in soul winning. And then number nine, the last pump, is the pump of finishing. Finishing. The Bible says, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. He said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And when he hung on the cross, he said, "It's finished. It's finished." I have completed my task. It's finished. For the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. Now, 9 different places you can get your joy tank filled up. You got to start with the first one. If you're not saved, that's where you need to come first. Because you'll never have joy in anything else in your life until you fill up that part of you that was created to fellowship with God. And the only way you can do that is come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here this morning, you've never come, that's what you need to do. You need to come. Now, if you're here and you're a Christian, and most of us are, I know that, most of us are, then you remember that you are going to heaven, that Jesus is coming back, that we can spend time in his presence, and we can do all the other things I talked about this morning. So I'll say to you the same thing that Nehemiah said to his people. Again, the wall was done. The construction project was done. Now the hard part came. They had to live their life the way that God wanted them to live. They had to do the things as a nation that God wanted them to do. And Nehemiah says, you can't do that in your own strength. If you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. And if we try to live in this world and do the things that God wants us to do in our own strength, we will fail. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, if your life is going ding, 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 ding this morning, pull up to one of these pumps. You don't need a credit card. Pull up to one of the pumps and fill her up. Fill her up. And walk out of this place with your joy tanks full in the strength of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement and the instructions that it gives us. Thank you that it tells us that we're lost sinners in need of a Savior and that Jesus is our Savior. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know him, that they'll come in just a minute and we can take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here that face trials and tribulations. Father, their tank of joy is running on empty. And I pray this morning that we'll pull up to one of these pumps and we'll fill our tanks up. And we'll get that joy that you want each one of us to have. We'll get it back. And we'll work in the strength of it. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.